Non-negotiables podcast. You're here with the ENF Gooner at ENF Gooner on Twitter. Just a quick podcast today. It is Friday, it's after work. Last night was the round of 16 tie, Arsenal taking on Sporting Lisbon at the Emirates Stadium. Sorry, I got a little bit cut off there. I think my friend tried to call me, so it stopped the recording on my telephone. I think what was it? I think yeah. What I was saying is basically you can measure the sort of. I think we've been very good from responding to setbacks this season. That the Everton loss, another £900. Not a good thing for us. The Brentford game that has looked away from us, and unfortunately and illegally and. Lee Mason's now lost his job because of it. We assume that was the main reason why he lost his job. And then after that was the City game at home where we played okay, but we were punished. Punished quite heavily for mistakes. But cool, thank you. We were punished quite heavily for mistakes that we made. Which was really unfortunate, but then to go five games on the trot, winning every game, you know, verging on the sublime, and then the most heart attack inducing victories, which I didn't see either of them because I was on a train for the Bournemouth one. I had to go dark when I was in the underground, and then the other one I was at a church. But that's, I think, the main takeaway of it is you need to learn from this and take every single positive, take the negatives and learn. And based on the experience of this season, because very well, whilst I've got the know-how and the experience, if you don't have know-how, how would you go and lose to your biggest title rather than win five and a bounce and lose, you know, be 5 points clear, lose your best player for 4 months and still be 5 points clear? You know, you learn on the job. But it doesn't really matter how you acquire the experience, you get that experience and you keep growing, you keep doing it, you keep fighting, and maybe you end up with a top prize at the end of the season. But it's just, the overall performance, though, it was weird to see. Just, I don't know if it was a case of looking nervous or if it was a case of sort of like, you know, all the main team wasn't on, so we weren't fully functioning at a high enough level. When Rob Holding came on, I thought he was all right. Some of the passes he was doing through the middle, between the lines, actually really quite impressive. But then, obviously, he's not as good as Saliba, and he just doesn't bring the same calm and dominance as Saliba does. So it was tough. It was just quite tough. It's a tough going, really, having somebody who wasn't as calm and assured. But just all the passing in the second half really fell through the floor. It's terrible. Maybe we'd intercept the ball and just play it back to them, or not only kick it, not only boot it away from them, sort of like pass it back to them because of misplaced passes. And it was the complete antithesis of the Fulham performance, where every single touch was weighted perfectly in the right direction to the perfect player. Whereas this time it's just like, what was going on? I was a shout at the screen. It's like, what are you doing? It's just mental. So maybe it was nerves. Maybe it was just a bit of nerves or a little bit of sort of. I mean, to be fair, in the second half, they didn't have many shots. If I'm being honest, they didn't really like pepper our goal. They weren't, you know, dominating the game with shots and chances created and threat levels and. It wasn't like that. It was just sort of, they were very good. And they were counter-pressing very well. They were pressing us very well. They sort of had a lot of the possession of the ball. Quite dominant in possession as well. And then a couple of good players, and obviously scored that worldie. But it wasn't like Everton in the second half when we just killed them, or Bournemouth where we're chasing the game. We have 31 shots and we're just basically living in their box. Touching it like 74 times. I was thinking yesterday, what constitutes a touch as well? Like touches in the opponent's box? Is it like You have the possession. It can't be touches of the ball. I think it's just if somebody gets the ball in your box, like one dribble or a pass in the box or a shot in the box, isn't it? I don't really know. But it was just yeah, just a shame. And they scored the goal in extra time. I think we were playing well with a Gabriel save, a save from Gabriel. There was a save. What was the other one? That nearly went in. I can't remember. There was a Trossard one, but it was very close. I think, and obviously there's Trossard, the other one. He hit the goalie saved and hit the post. And I think we played better in the second half. Sorry, in the extra time, I think we were on top and we played well, in a sense. But overall, yeah, I think maybe in the balance of it, I think maybe they edged us. I think maybe just the Premier League is looming so large in the players' heads as well as our heads, I think, and the managers' heads, because it's there. It's 11 games away. It's sort of it's within grasp, and I think if we do win on against Crystal Palace at home, where I'm assuming the Emirates is going to be absolutely rocking, because it's the last game till the international break. If we can go into that game, win it, touch wood. I've actually touched a tree, because that's actual wood. No injuries, a win, an extra 3 points. That'd be amazing. And this would feel a lot better. Because I don't really feel that bad, to be honest with you, but yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed. And the penalties. The penalties were nervy. I think they played they well to be fair, their penalties weren't great, but I mean Trossard's penalty for us wasn't great. But they had about two or three which I thought Ramsdale could have saved. And having somebody who is, I mean, I hate Emiliano Martinez, he's a total penis. But if you want one goalkeeper in a penalty shootout, he's very high up the list because he winds people up and he don't shake there. But he does wind people up, he gets in people's heads, he just does the nasty stuff. And you know, if you do it in a World Cup final, you might end up winning it. And unfortunately for him, he won. Unfortunately for France, fortunately for him, he actually did win it. But we're gonna go off the lead. Go on then. But Aaron Ramsdale just doesn't really have a very good record when it comes to that sort of stuff. To saving penalties. And sometimes you think, oh, we could do with that. We could do with somebody who's quite good. Quite good at saving penalties, because you know we're going to need him. It was the only Emirates Stadium penalty shootout ever, really. Come on. So psychologically, it's always quite good to have somebody between the sticks who is good, but no, it wasn't to be. But it wasn't to be. It's fine, you know. And I think that's sort of all I have to say on it, really. It's just a very strong feeling of, you know, what might have been, maybe. And it's because in previous seasons, we want to win the Europa League because it was our most viable chance of getting into the Champions League. Whereas now it's like we're going for the league title, so you know we should be okay if we get the Champions League, and that was the aim at the start of the season. I don't know what phase that was in Arteta's 5-phase plan, but I assume that it was quite, you know, getting the Champions League was this season. Maybe phase three is getting the Champions League and go from there. So that was the main aim. We've just sort of got a bonus when we've had. I wouldn't say luck, I just think we played brilliantly. And like, could we get better? We probably can get better. But it's more, I don't think it's more sort of evolving as a low, more evolving in terms of improving. I think that those things are quite close together anyway. But if you do evolve, you usually get better anyway. And I feel we're in a good position with that because there are things that we can write and things that we can't get right. Because obviously you can get better, because if we were at the level that he wants to be at, we'd be poking teams at Sporting Lisbon 5-0 like Man City did last season. I think they won like 7-0 that aggregate or something silly like that. So there's always a long way to go. But the main takeaway that I took away from it was full focus on the league. Get the players fit and ready again. Go and beat Crystal Palace on Sunday. Go to the international break with a renewed sort of reset, because when we get back from the international break, that's where it is. 10 games left. That's what it'll be. And even if we draw against Palace or whatever, we'll still be ahead. We will go into this break ahead. But if we have the 5 points, there is the safety net for the Etihad. So I think I'm going to leave it there. Twitter is ENFGuna. I'll probably do a podcast on like Monday or something like that. All right, see ya. I got off work early, and I'm just going to take my lovely dog for a walk. And I thought I'd do a quick little talk on the pod, and just sort of get my feelings across about what happened, and the ramifications for Arsenal in the obviously in the near future with our exit from the Europa League this season, after drawing 1-1 with Sporting and then subsequently going out on penalties 5-3. It was a strange game. It was somewhat unfamiliar in terms of what the season has brought so far, in that Arsenal took the lead in the first half, but the game as a whole was it was not accustomed to what we've well, it's not the whole performance is not what we've become accustomed to this season, despite it being quite a strong first 11 who started the game. So the start of the game, obviously the teams come out an hour beforehand, so you quickly pop on the app and see, oh, what's the team, and the team looked good. The team looked really good. I thought it sort of did very much. It did very much translate that Arteta wanted to go strong, and it means a lot to him. The thing with Arteta is he wants to win every single game. Every single game he would like to win. And it doesn't matter what competition it's in. On the face of it, he wants to win every single game. Whether or not he's secretly chuffed, like the FA Cup to City, where we went out but we played well, I can't really comment on that, to be honest, because I don't know what he thinks. But all in all, the team that he put out was one that sort of told us, as the fans, that he's looking to win this. He's looking to win this because winning breeds winning. It's a winning mentality. It doesn't really matter how many games that you have during the season. If you're winning games, you're winning games, and nothing bad can come from winning games, because if you win every game, you're gonna be very successful. But as I said, the team was good. Ramsdale came back. I normally speak to my dad before games, and I said, I mentioned that I thought he might come back. I thought, as per what happened, I think last season, when push came to shove, he would go for, he would put Ramsdale back in, and Ramsdale would start, because I think I said on the other podcast, Turner's good. He's very much improving with his sort of distribution, but it's not a natural fit. Whereas with Ramsdale, confidence is his confidence in with his confidence with his ball at the feet is very good, and it's superior to Matt Turner. And just overall, he just brings a level of composure to the role, which the composure is name of the game when it comes to being Arsenal's goalkeeper, because there are going to be times where you're not involved for quite a lot, so you need to stay concentrated, and you need to be able to you need to be able to hold it down when needs be. And I thought we did well overall. I thought we did quite well overall. That was especially the save in the first half. Sorry, the second half when he hit it with his face. He didn't have a massive load to do. I mean, Sporting had a lot of pressure that they applied onto us. Because they're a good team. They're in the Champions League. They beat Spurs. They did very well, and they were quite unlucky not to go through in the end. I think because of what happened, because they Spurs' group right at the death was sort of a bit mental. How it ended up, sort of, I think every single team went could have gone through and were in a position to go through at one stage during game day six, match day six of the Champions League this season. So I sort of predicted he'd come back in, and I thought he did a good job. And obviously, I'll probably get onto the penalties a bit later, but I thought we did okay. And then at the back, I thought basically full strength. Or an alternate full strength side, really. Oh, that works. An alternate full strength side, basically, because just taking out Tomiyasu for Ben White, it's still, and having Tomiyasu right back, it's still essentially a full strength team. But there is a slight drop off this season because Ben White's been very good. This season, so when Tomiyasu comes in, he's very good. He's a very good defender, and especially a one-on-one defender. And it's a, like a special like he's given any deal of specificity, like given a special role. Like when we played Liverpool at the Emirates, he was given a specific job of basically handling Mo Salah, and I thought he was marvelous, and he did very well. And there have been other games where his strengths have really come to light in terms of being a one-on-one defender, which is absolutely fantastic. But unfortunately, he came off with an injury in early in the first half, and subsequently went off, went home in crutches. He very much overstretched when I think he anticipated going in for a challenge, but sort of fell over basically and overstretched his knee. So fingers crossed. I mean, he's okay. I mean, when it comes to right backs, it's just him and Ben White. No one else can really play that role. Obviously, Cedric's on loan, and if both of them weren't available for selection, it would give us a bit of a headache in terms of who would play there. So, obviously, fingers crossed, he's okay as soon as possible. Thank God there's an international break coming up, so fingers crossed, everything crossed for Tomiyasu to come back as soon as possible, so he's available for selections, substitute appearances, because obviously there's only 11 games now, we're out of all the cups. So yeah, so that was a little bit It was a little bit of a shame. One, two, three, four, five. So that was obviously not good. Also, in regards to all the rest of the people, it was the top, the full strength side. It was Saliba and Gabriel at the back. Also with Zinchenko playing left back, And it was good. It was sort of, you always sort of look at the defence. If we have a strong defence, obviously that will lay the groundwork for a hopefully a strong performance. And unfortunately, we Saliba went down as well. I think he intercepted it at the goal, and then sort of grabbed his lower back, and looks like it may have been like a spasm, or like he felt a little twist in there possibly, but he had to go out. And he was substituted for upholding. Obviously, Ben White came on very early and played well over a whole game because he played the entire 120 minutes. Was a shame, especially Saliba. But he was sort of in the dugout towards the end of the game. So you imagine, obviously Tommy Asu wasn't. So Saliba, hopefully, it's sort of more of a twinge, and he can sort of get right and recover as quickly as possible, because obviously we've got Palace on the Sunday, so ideally he would be fit for that really, because international break's coming up, and if he's injured technically, which could be really helpful, so he doesn't have to go away with France, because he almost certainly would do. Probably wouldn't play because they don't seem to play him, but if he's in with the squad, he's not travelling, he'd stay at Colney, and he can get ready and raring to go, because there's only 11 games left, and the focus is very, very clear. And then Zinchenko, who played as well, obviously, it's been good to see Zinchenko playing consistently. There's always that sort of air of sort of uncertainty with Zinchenko at certain points. Oops. In terms of, because he missed quite a lot of the season at the start, it's like, I don't know, maybe just in my head, I think, like, is he ever really sort of like fit and going to start every game and stuff? But he very much does. And so he played in the midfield of Fabio Vieira in sort of the Odegaard role, which obviously lots of noise coming from Arteta saying that he is, he's basically ready, and he's going to be playing a lot more football for us, which is promising, because obviously a lot of money was spent on Fabio Vieira, and he didn't always know where his minutes are going to come from. And when Odegaard came on for him, you could certainly tell that there was an increase in quality, because I think he sort of, he didn't never really massively got into the game like he did in the away leg. In the away leg, he was a lot more impressive, whereas in this game, I think he faded quite a lot, or faded quite a bit, quite soon, sooner than anybody would have hoped for. But I think he did play well. A little touch on the substitutions, really. There was a lot. I mean, there was the Ben White came on, and then Holding had to come on, and then Odegaard, sorry, no, Jesus came off for Trossard at half time, and then there was another couple of substitutions with Saka and Partey, and then there was the Odegaard substitution, and they sort of took advantage of, I think, which you can do five subs with three in-game stoppages, so you can do it at three different times. But then restarts, I think, must play a part now, because at extra time he came on, Odegaard came on, and also at half time. So sort of at those natural breaks in the game, you're allowed to bring somebody on, and it doesn't eat into your three goes and your subs. So that was a bit nuts. But I think he wouldn't have wanted to use all those players, and not obviously a lot of them didn't play crazy amounts. I mean, Ben White did, and Saka and Partey would play more than they would have to. But the thing is, these guys want to play. Obviously, you risk a bit of injury, like when Saka got tackled for the guy to get sent off, he sort of, my heart sank about 3 inches. But these guys, they want to play. They're playing football. And if you're running on adrenaline in a title race, it gives you that sort of impetus that you may think you don't have. But I was thinking, like, oh, I don't want to play too many minutes. These boys, they want to go out every single game. Like, with the mentality they have, they don't give a thing. They don't care. They want to get out there. They want to go out and play. And because imagine if he said to me, Tom, you're going to play for Arsenal for like 2 years. I'm like, I want to play every single minute in every single game to try and help this team, so I love them. So I think they're maybe their mindset. And as fans, we sort of think, oh, I wish they wouldn't play as much. Ben White playing 100 minutes or whatever. Oh dear, he's going to be tired or whatever. So he might get tired, but he's a a professional elite athlete who will get all the massages, all the treatment, you know, all the you know, all the precautions, everything will be done for him. And obviously if you do have a little injury, stuff like that is manageable, and you know, you're sort of safeguarded against it in terms of, you know, your preparation and your cool down and the way that your body is looked after by the club and stuff. And so I wouldn't worry too much about that. I guess psychologically it's a bit of a tough one to go out. But then again, it's such a weird one. It's just, football is such a massive game of mind games and sort of feeling within the game and within the season as a whole. And I'll probably allude to it many times over the next time I talk to you. Well, because I'm walking my dog and there's cars everywhere, so it might be quite noisy, but, you know, whatever. Like, the amount of clarity that this game is given is mental. So, like, it's come on, it's so clear now what needs to be done, you know, and it's not simple, obviously, but there's a straight path now, and it's game by game, everything what we're doing so far. And what we have done this season, I think I tweeted about it beforehand, it's how we react to setbacks. We lose to Man City and win 5 in a bounce, for example. Possibly 6 if we do an unboard Crystal Palace, which I hope we do. But I've just on a boat this morning that Patrick Vieira has been sacked. And Roy Hodgson might be in line to get the job back. And they've got this like young lad who might take charge in the dugout. And possibly this academy keeper, because Sam Johnston and Victor Guaita or whatever, they're injured, so they won't play. So it's possibly going to be a worldie for their academy goalkeeper. So that's great for us. Always get hit with a new manager bounce, do Arsenal, Dr. Arsenal, whatever. So it's a bit like, that's annoying, but it's at home. And if the crowd has been anything to go by this season, you know that the Arsenal crowd, and we're going to get absolutely behind the team because it needs to be. And I think in that respect, after losing to Man City, Arteta was, you know, quite saying, oh, we've conceded a few too many goals, things like this. Then sort of cited the Bournemouth game and the Sporting game. But in the middle of that was a 1-0 demolition of Leicester. And also there was the 4-0 versus Everton when we, you know, absolutely spanked them. So I think there's more trust in the side in terms of coming back from these setbacks with good performances and strong performances that sort of steadied the ship. Not that the ship was rocking particularly wobbly anyway. And this will be something which is, I don't know, it's weird to explain really. Because it's easy to say, oh, you know, because we're out the Europa Cup, we can focus on the league. But then again, in the same breath, it's sort of like, well, yes, we can. You know, it will be. It's the same principle of, okay, we've got this running now. This is exactly what we need to do, and there'll be twists and turns along the way. But it's there for us. I mean, the main part about it, I thought, was the injuries. Tommy Esu, bless him, I think he's brilliant, but he is prone to an injury, and he's been littered with injuries, which is annoying, but he is still very young. He's about 22, 23, whatever he is, so he's certainly not old, and certainly has still got a lot of time in his legs. So that was the main concern for me, that maybe, especially Saliba, is he going to be okay for Sunday? Hopefully he will be. And you know, with the league, it's that clarity that it provides without any other distractions. And obviously international break is ill-advised, but then after that, I think it's just a sense of Friday will give more. Sunday will give even more idea of what the team is thinking and how they're feeling. Because if it happened, we're out of the Europa League, which is fine, but all these possible feelings that we've had at the moment of maybe feeling a bit despondent because we're out of the cup, because it's a cup after all, and we never won it. We haven't been very successful in Europe, obviously, over the last God knows how many years, since 94, whatever it was. We haven't been that successful in the league, so it's nice to do that, and hopefully we've said farewell to the Europa League for a long time, and we can stay in the Champions League consistently over the next few years. Because the Europa League is good, obviously, but it doesn't hold a candle to the champs leg. So I think yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, but anyway, to the midfield, I think I did call it Vieira, Xhaka, and Jorginho. And Jorginho, I thought, had an okay game, sort of made a bit of a mistake for their goal, but then you can't account for that one. That was just a worldie, which is really annoying. But then, I thought the midfield played quite well. I thought Jack and Shaq played well. Nelson on the right, I thought, played well. I thought he had some nice touches, was working hard and looked very quick. Looked really quick, which was surprising. I knew he was sort of had quick feet, but I wasn't sure he was that quick. But he was rapid along the ground. And he just played well. He stood out. And when Saka came on, Saka didn't provide as much as he normally does. But obviously, he's still... player of the season for us, basically one of our players in the season. But in the forward line, it was great to see Jesus back. Martinelli looked sharp, and obviously I told about Nelson, spoke about Nelson. But Gabriel Jesus coming back, I thought he looked back to his sort of normal self very quickly, which was good to see. And I think, it's very rare where everything falls your way in terms of every aspect of your team. That results and injuries and how your opponents do it and the timetable and the schedule and playing people in form. Lots of things have fell Arsenal's way this season with certain things. But I was speaking before, I don't know if I said it last time I spoke on the podcast, but you can't say a generic comment where everybody says, for example, if you're going to win the league, you need a little bit of luck. And you're always going to need that little bit of luck. But when Arsenal are winning the league, say that Arsenal are lucky. You can get luck with certain things, and you can be lucky, and they are two separate things. And I think they are very different when you speak in those contexts. But overall, the first half I thought it was masked, really, because Sporting, they are a good team. They play well, they've got a good young coach. And they're busy, they're good on the ball. We had good spells in the first half where we possessed the ball. But I think overall, I think they were the better team, despite us going 1-0 down. We'll let the speaker go. Hey there, that's all right. Oi, be nice. See you later. But I think they were possibly a little bit unfortunate to go 1-0 down to us. But we scored a good goal. I mean, Jorginho's group ball was excellent, and he's been quite consistent with those sorts of forward passes and being very progressive this season. So I thought he's been good. I've spoken before. I think he is very good. And he does a lot more than maybe people think he does. And his reputation for his on-field performances don't really do him justice because of the things that he's won. And it's not like he was a substitute in those performances, like for the Euros and the Champions League. I mean, he played those games, which are red-hot games where he plays well, he's in the middle and he's in amongst it. And all you can really hear about him is His influence off the pitch, in training and talking and guiding, and I think that's those sort of intangibles that you can't really see on the pitch and aren't really reflected, but that they go a long way. So I think he is good. He is a good fit for us, and I think it's the last time I wish we'd have got him earlier, because he's sort of the he's similar. He's sort of like an unconscious brain within the team to keep things ticking over nicely. Whereas someone like Ødegaard, Partey, they are sort of, I'd say Ødegaard probably more is the brains of the team. You know, when everybody's fit and ready to play, that, you know, he's the brains. And someone like Partey is the brawn and the blood and the skeleton of the team, moving it around different pieces to pieces. So I think it's definitely that Jesus is good to be back. I mean, he did look sharp. It did look sort of similar to what he was playing like beforehand. It was reminiscent of his early season form, which was really nice to see. It was quite quick and sharp, and looks as if he wanted to get involved, and he was making runs behind. And I think in the running behind closed doors and on the pitch, I think his attitude and his spirit, and his know-how and his relentlessness is going to be something that we really, really see and come to the forefront very quickly. Come with me. And I think it'd be absolutely unbelievable. This way. I think the influence that we'll have on the team from the front will give us that sort of momentum, will kickstart them, and it can be a catalyst for us. And once he gets to full fitness and full match sharpness, so I think he'll start again on against Crystal Palace. I think he'll start at home again. I think he'll play an hour or 70 minutes, somewhere, depending on the game state. And I think he'll get a lot of minutes into his legs on Sunday, because he's not going to go to, he's not being called up by Brazil, thank God. And he'll have 2 weeks at home, 2 weeks at Colney, just to be, just repurposed, reconditioned, and just, he will be fully formed again, I think. In that 2 weeks, he'll be ready to go. And we hear little interviews and bits and bobs on how you sort of look him in the eyes, are you ready? And I don't sort of look at that as sort of like something which is to be sniffed at. I think it's something that when you know, you know. And there's that sort of innate clarity in your self-clarity in your own head. When you're like, I'm ready. This is numb. My body's ready, but my mind isn't. But then when you get to this stage, you're like, yeah, I'm ready. This is me. Let's do this. You know, and I'll lead the line, and I'm ready, strong, quick, and my head is in it, you know. And I think that'd be an almighty boost. So in the first half, I said I think they may have had the better of us. Yes, it was a great goal, great ball from Jorginho, and then lovely run by Martinelli, well onside, gone through. Finish was a little bit tepid, but then Xhaka sort of strides onto it. It couldn't have been placed in the perfect spot and lashed it in. It was great. And then it was a half time, Jesus came off. Trossard came on, who didn't have an amazing game, had a couple of chances as well. On another day, they go in, but on this day, it didn't, unfortunately. But I think he's, again, it's been a marvellous signing. And I think he'll prove to be very important in the running still, because this setback, a 1-1 draw at home to Crystal Palace, or a loss to Crystal Palace, or something like that, that would cut so deep. Whereas this is a loss, we've gone out of a cup, a little bit of momentum has been lost, but as I said before, you can measure how you feel about this on Sunday at 5 o'clock or whatever, when we finish. That's when you sort of think, right, well, so we win against Palace, put two past Palace, win 2-0, something like this, against a team who've been winless in 10, winless in this calendar year. Manager's been sacked. You know, it's... I mean, it's written in the stars, isn't it? But if we can overcome something like that, that'd be another thing ticked off the list. And then it goes into the break. And we pray to God that there's no injuries to any of our players. And then we go again with Leeds at home.